Hi, I'm Dr. Gamaverdian from Dental Lounge. Would you like to increase your success, whether it be personal success or career success? Studies have proven that enhancing your smile can enhance your quality of life in every way. I've seen hundreds of patients for porcelain veneers and smile makeovers with amazing results. Simply tap the banner and book your free consultation and I'll be happy to show you. And best of all, ask about our interest-free payment plans. Dental Lounge Macquarie Street. Create success with your smile.
On 1116 SEN, Bush and the Burbs for Toyota's Good for Footy program. Local Toyota dealers supporting local clubs. Discover more at toyota.com.au/AFL.
Now, just quickly, not very local or football at all, is that the semi-final in the Women's Cricket World Cup is still rain delayed. No sign of either team. And in the British Open, a familiar name has struck out and leads the tournament. After nine holes, Jordan Spieth is on his own at 3 under. At 2 under, having completed his round, the Welshman Stuart Manley. Ian Poulter, 2 under through 15. Justin Rose, 2 under through 8. Australians are late starters. The only Australian on course is Adam Bland, who bogeyed the first hole. How are you, Daff? And we've got a new sponsor for Paul Daffy. It's a ripper. The Standard Hotel, 293 Fitzroy Street in Fitzroy. They say it's hard to find, but very easy to love.
I'm good, thanks, Fonny. That is a great, speaking to the publican, Paul O'Brien, who's a great fan of the show. Paul's a rare, I was going to say it's a great slogan, hard to find, easy to love, because it's in a back street of Fitzroy, but it is worth finding, Fonny. Paul is a rare advertiser, a rare sponsor, and then he wants to keep it low key. He doesn't want you shouting from the...
Okay.
From the rooftops about how great it is. The Standard is it's just
a pub.
It's a good pub with a great vibe. Sort of hard to define, I suppose. But it's, hard to find, easy to love. I sat down with Paul. He's not one of those blokes who's going to want me to trumpet his footy background. But we spoke for footy for a long time today. And I was sitting between a poster of Willie Nelson's the cover of Willie Nelson's Redheaded Stranger, which was a groundmark, the first acoustic album to sort of break through all the carry-on of the early 70s where, 10 minutes guitar solos. Willie just got up there and made an album which was stripped, which was very influential because it was stripped down so much. So it's a great album for anyone who likes that sort of country Americana sort of genre of music. And then there's Fitzroy footy memorabilia on the other wall. So the pub mixes that music, Fitzroy footy,
was he a Fitzroy
vibe in great fashion. I've been going there since I was in my early 20s. Haven't gone there in recent years because of it's hard when you've got young kids, but I've always known it's there, and it's great to have the Standard on as our sponsor. So thanks, Paul. What was your question, sir?
Was he a Fitzroy fan?
Paul, I didn't know. I didn't ask who he breaks for, but his father played momentarily for Collingwood, then got cut down by injuries as a young man. I gathered the story, but he went to coach Euroa, coached for 10 years.
Barely, is he related to Shane Avery?
Barely lost a game. I don't know. I suspect he is, because I know Shane Avery has relatives in the northeast. Shane Avery actually grew up in Beaufort on the other side of Ballarat before he was actually drafted to Brisbane, wasn't he? We forget that. But Shane Avery has relations up in the Golden Valley, and I suspect they are related, especially given the strength of the footy pedigree there. But, so Paul's father, Dick Coate, was a legendary, famous coach, and coached from full forward, which is unusual, of Euroa for 10 years. They barely lost a game in the old Warringah North East League in the 60s. I think they won 7 grand finals in 10 years, went into the Golden Valley League 1971, won the flag in their first year. And I spoke to several players who played in that team. Euroa lost 1 game that year. That was against Shepparton at the Deakin Reserve. I spoke to the coach of the Shepparton Footy Club on Saturday from that match, and there's a great story to emerge. And before I go on, Paul actually coached Euroa himself, and he coached Deniliquin up in the Murray League as well. Finally, last week I went to the footy. I did a little tour, tour on promoting my history of the VCFL. I spoke at Tongala on Thursday night after training, and then went to Shepparton to Deakin Reserve and spoke there before the Shepparton versus Kyabram 1v2 match in the Golden Valley League. And I met some of the coaches from the late 60s and early 70s at Shepparton. Ken Rowe played a handful of games for Melbourne, then got moved through his job as a teacher, had to teach at Numurkah High and started coaching Shepparton. And he was followed by Les Harrison, a big ruckman, but he was also a teacher. In those days, it was very common for as a young teacher, you had to take a posting in the country originally, especially if there was a scholarship program. And so that's how a lot of, in my experience, people who taught in those years are the most interesting to talk about country footy because they moved around the state. They tend to be very erudite people, and they know footy all around the state, and they're good storytellers. And that was certainly the case last Saturday. But just on Yeroa versus Shepparton in 1971, Yeroa got unexpectedly beaten by a young Shepparton team. They'd won a lot of flags in the 60s, but they were just regenerating after a lot of premiership champions retired before that season. But they did get up against Yeroa, and Dick O'Brien was very unhappy. And the president of Yeroa at the time, George Hunter, he said, "We're not going in there for a drink." So they drove back down to Yeroa. The Shepparton president, who's a huge figure in Golden Valley football, Jack Edwards was his name. I could talk about him for a long time, the stories I heard on Saturday. He was so incensed by the effrontery of the Yeroa people in not coming in for a drink after losing their first game for the year late in the season, that he followed them down to Yeroa and said, "What's going on? You should come into our place for a drink." Paul told me today that Dick actually asked Jack Edwards into his place. They had a drink, had a chat, sorted things out. But it was very amusing that the Shepparton people still talk about Jack Edwards just following the convoy to enter Yeroa to teach them a lesson.
How far away is it?
I don't know. It'd be 40 minutes.
It's a good hike.
So certainly 30 minutes, maybe in those days. You know, the road's not as good. It would have been 40. Because you've done the wrong thing. And Jack Edwards didn't like it. He was a president for 25 years at Shepparton Footy Club. He was responsible for those glory years when they got Tom Hafey as coach and then several good coaches after that. Tom Hafey always said the Shepparton Footy Club was run better than anything he struck at league level by Jack Edwards. But he would say that because Tom was going to be sacked after 2 years at Shepparton because they were not doing very well and there was great unrest. And I wrote about this after Tom Hafey's death 3 years ago, actually, in a little article in the Sunday Age. He was going to be sacked, and Jack Edwards mobilised against the forces who wanted Tom Hafey sacked, convinced the committee that they should give him another go. And Tom Hafey went on to coach Shepparton to the next three flags and then started a punt road, that's 63-65, then started a punt road in 66. If he had been sacked, the great imponderable, the sliding doors moment, as it's called now, is if Tom Hafey had been sacked by Shepparton at the end of the 1962 season, it is very doubtful he would have gone on to be a league coach and therefore not a league legend, as he became.
And everything that followed on.
Some great fellows from that era. Ken Rowe, Les Harrison I mentioned, Darryl Twitt, 5'10" full forward with the big posterior. Used to, in those days, forwards and backs one out. Forward could use his body. You don't see it that much these days, but that was certainly... Still happens in local footy, actually, but not much at league level. But that was a feature. That short full forward, it just used to know how to use his body.
Been informed that Paul O'Brien is no relation to Shane O'Brien.
No relation, okay.
Let's move on and scoot through the suburban competitions because we're going to have a chat and a bit of an in-depth look tonight at a football club that was, at least by name, I'm not sure exactly what the follow-through has been, but... a powerhouse in the VFA during the VFA's greatest period, that of the 70s and into the sort of early part of the 80s. But when the VFA was great, Geelong West were great, and there was a famous afternoon when Geelong West on a Sunday had more people attend their game against Port Melbourne than Geelong in the VFL had managed on the Saturday, and that is a fact.
I love that story. You brought that up a few... We had Peter Flynn in here talking about, from the Footy Almanac, talking about he was there that day. Yeah. More at the VFA than at the VFL the previous day. It's fantastic. Geelong West were very strong.
And they were a team full of personalities, and as the VFA became unwieldy with two divisions, and Geelong West sort of exited stage left, and for many of us, we thought became defunct, but not the case at all. Geelong West are a football club very much.
Yes, I mean 1981, Sunday footy, just boom. VFA lost the television rights. All the money went into swift decline. It's amazing how quickly that happened. But Geelong West stumbled along. I remember Warwick Yates. Remember the big ruckman? He used to play for Lawn on a Saturday, and in the end, he was playing for Geelong West on a Sunday. Just one of those players who came back just to keep him going.
Oh, they had, you know, it was great to watch them at their best with Radojevic at full forward.
Oh, yeah.
If Radojevic didn't get the ball, then the Velodrome did, the only ground with a self-returning ball mechanism called the Velodrome, because of the angle of the Velodrome. If the ball bounced on it, it would then bounce back into the field of play, which was handy. But
I remember Stephen Lund playing for them, and then
they had Browns,
playing for Geelong
they had,
as well.
They had Ricky Brown, yeah, and Mark true. Brown with E on the end of their name.
That's right, yeah.
A number of attractive players who played for them. Geelong, of course, had a close relationship, so many of the players...
Did John Scull play?
Many of the players, yeah, he might have played for them, but there was, you know, what has become of them, we will find out later this hour. Let's scoot through local football and do it not by results, but by the top fives or fours or sixes. Who's currently in the finals recording in the Northern Football League?
Greensboro had a great win. They've had several great wins in recent times, and they're now fifth, and they look to be entrenched given that they're two games ahead of the sixth and seventh teams, which is Heidelberg and Montmorency. Heidelberg, the reigning premiers. So the top five looks, well, things can happen in the last few rounds, but Northcote Park, McLeod on 36, Bundoora, West Preston 32, Greensboro 28. Great effort by Greensboro, as we had Robert Hyde saying this is a rebuilding year. They've rebuilt last on the ladder in late May, in the five by late June, and they look to be set for another finals campaign.
Now, in the Eastern Football League, Baldwin have started. They've lost their last couple of games.
Yeah, not by much this week. They lost to Vermont, top team. Clearly their top team by 14 points. Tom Schneider best on ground. The rounds to be completed this weekend, Doncaster versus Montrose. Norwood had a good win over Blackburn. So Blackburn, they're second, I think, or third, but that was a bad loss. Norwood capable of big things, and this week they beat him by 58 points. Jordan Gisbert's ex-Melbourne player, best on ground.
There was a bye in the Essendon District Football League, but there's a couple of familiar names up the top of the table.
Maribyrnong Park versus Greenvale. I might be going that one, Finey. And Duda Stars versus Pasco Vale. Can I just give in one plug? Rivalry round is next week in the Essendon District League, and Duda Stars and Aberfeldy, great rivals, only 800 metres apart. They're having a rivalry round lunch at Moonee Valley Race Club next Friday, 28th of July at 1:30 to 5 p.m. $195 a ticket. The speakers, this is why it's quite a pricey lunch. John Worsfold, Brad Scott, Brad Johnson.
Ripping lunch.
That's a Duda Stars website. Has got all the details there. Got a call from an old schoolmate, actually, Reg Gleeson, Duda Stars committeeman. So happy to give that a plug.
And Morty Alec and St Paul's topped the Southern Football League, but it's still anybody's go for the finals, bar Clayton, who are yet to win a game.
This is a very, it's been a fascinating journey through the Southern League this year. Morty Alec, St Paul's on top with 40, Dingley 36, won last year's grand final by more than 100 points. East Malvern, then Bentley on 24. Bentley started very patchily. East Malvern, by contrast, started quite strongly, but they're now fourth and fifth. But Oakley District's outside only by percentage. They made the finals last year. They actually made the top three last year. So they're capable of coming through as well, finally. This week, Dingley versus Morty Alec, so that's a big game.
The Western Region Football League and the powerhouse Deer Park are being hotly pressed by Spotty.
Yes, well, Deer Park, this time last year, Deer Park had been extremely patchy. Then they motored home to win their fourth flag in a row. This year, they haven't had that patchy phase. They've just been strong from the outset. I actually spoke to Deer Park player Jason Kennedy. He was the Baldwin Heidelberg Premiership captain. This year he's joined his old mate from Shepparton and Shannon Burns. They grew up together. This year they're both playing at Deer Park. Shannon Burns, the ex-Geelong Premiership player, of course. So Jason's father, Cheeky Kennedy, he ran the raffle last Sunday. So I owe him $100. I said I'd buy a ticket. Deer Park, 48, Spotswood 44, Sunshine, Hoppers Crossing 36. It's a big gap between second and third there. The Werribee District's on 32. Two-game break to Altona, who are in sixth place on 24 points. Altona did defeat Werribee Districts by 55 points last week, though. Daniel O'Leary, best on ground. This week, Hoppers Crossing versus Sunshine is the big game finally. That's fourth versus third.
In the VAFA Premier Division, it's been a work in progress for a number of years, but St. Kevin's Old Boys...
That's not a bad description, actually.
...have made their way to the top of the tree at this stage of the season. And it's been planned.
Clearly the top, actually. They're 6 points clear. St. Kevin's on 40, Collegians 34, Uni Blues and De La Salle on 28. Then you have to go down to Old Zavs on 26 points outside the four. St. Kevin, it's not as if Jay Schultz is kicking stacks of goals. They've just got good players all over the park.
Salopek's very well. Salopek's been a good player for...
He has. But they're just... Gerald Gleeson, for example, is a local product, midfielder, going extremely well.
Yep.
St. Kevin's doing very well. So, Old Trinity, though, they're in ninth place now.
They've replaced their coach, haven't they?
I did not know. Is that right?
I believe they may have.
Okay. I should know that for
you. Two-time grand final coach. I'm
trying to think of his name. I'll find out about that. But they're clearly not travelling well. They're in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
Uni Blues had a good win by Old Zavs by 20
points. That might be breaking news that maybe even the coach doesn't know. I hope he does. I got told by somebody today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I believe.
So it's not disgraceful that I don't know. Okay.
No, I got told by somebody today that that's happened. I hope it's not happening. That'd be funny. But still, don't want to be the bearer of bad tidings, but I'm pretty sure Old Trinity know where they're at. And yeah, I think that there might be a move at the top.
Well, last two grand finals had their chances in both. And this year, hoping to go all the way, but clearly things haven't been going well. So I am not sure, finally.
Now, in and around the Geelong area, there's a Geelong District Football League, of course, and there Inverleigh and Bannockburn are setting the pace.
That's right. Look, we get into the intricacies after the break, but the Geelong West Giants have two strands.
Yeah, I'm saying Geelong League, that's what I find very interesting.
Yeah, Geelong League and Geelong and District League. So they field teams in both competitions. But you mentioned Geelong and District League. The two top teams played last week. Inverleigh defeated Bannockburn by 6 points to go ahead of Bannockburn and go to the top of the ladder. Jack Kennedy Hunt kicked 5 and was best on ground. So
not to be confused with Jay Kennedy Harris, who plays.
Yes, well, I was thinking, why did that strike a chord? But that's why, I suppose. Yes, top 5: Inverleigh, Bannockburn 52. That's a lot of wins. Bell Post Hill 46, North Geelong 36, Thompson 24 outside the four. Anarchy with 24 outside of percentage. Then Geelong West Giants. That's the Cheetahs finally. So you've got the Roosters and the Cheetahs. So the Cheetahs are on 22 points. Interesting that two country teams, I mean, Bannockburn's strong every year. The country teams in that league are a bit stronger than the suburban teams from Geelong area, although Bell Post Hill and North Geelong and Thompson are all from the city of Geelong, but Inverleigh and Bannockburn are definitely outside the boundaries of Geelong, and they're setting the pace. Not unusual, but it's interesting.
So, to the break. And when we return, we unravel a football club that is the Geelong West Giants, broken up into Roosters and
Cheetahs. Formerly with a St. Peter's element, VFA element.
Formerly, of course, famously in the VFA, a powerhouse during that competition's golden years. And now running teams in both the district competition of Geelong and the main competition. And we'll find out exactly how this club sits and what has happened over the passage of time since many of us last knew of them as Roosters, with Radojevic kicking goals back in the VFA days. Oh, welcome back. And of course, Toyota and their Good for Footy program that puts local Toyota dealers at one with the local football clubs, and their support is vital. Discover more at toyota.com.au/AFL. And Paul Daffy, I've been told to not speak this too loudly, is brought to you by the Standard Hotel. It's in Fitzroy 293, Fitzroy Street, in Fitzroy. It's not easy to find, but it's easy to love. The Geelong West Football Club once ruled the roost, pardon the pun for those who know their nickname, in the VFA. But since that time, interesting developments as two clubs became custodians of the Geelong West name, and I guess with it the Geelong West history. One of them Geelong West St. Peters, and the other Geelong West Cheetahs, I believe, in due course, are playing in different competitions, a district football league for the Cheetahs and the Roosters of Geelong West St. Peters in the stronger Geelong Football League. This fracture has been mended. They're now under the one governing and controlling body and looking like a powerhouse in Geelong football for the future. It's unity, I think, on the back of a bit of acrimony. To explain the process is president of the Geelong West Giants in the Geelong Football League, Paul Eastman, and co-chair of the Geelong West Giants, the total sum of the two clubs, Tom Morrissey, who himself is a former Rooster, having played for Geelong West in the VFA. First of all, Paul, did I get all that roughly right? Because it's hard to track from here in Melbourne.
Roughly right, Mark. And how are you and how are you, Paul?
G'day, mate.
It's very much the case that, yes, the Geelong West St. Peters and Geelong West Cheetahs are now under the one banner as the Geelong West Giants. There's a lot of history between the two clubs. Geelong West Cheetahs going back to 1926 and Geelong West and Geelong West St. Peters going back a long way too. So, it was a tough decision, but one that had to be made in light of AFL Barwon's plans to restructure the league down the track. So we thought we'd get in first and show some innovation and show our community in Geelong West that we are serious about being a community club and we'd be a club not just for now but for the future.
Well, how was it that there were two Geelong Wests in the first place?
Oh, I'm actually a Bendigo boy, so I'm a Sandhurst boy from Bendigo. I married into a Geelong West St. Peters family, which my wife's father was Ron Sells, so a legend of St. Peters Footy Club.
Oh, yeah.
So in terms of history, I only know dates, but the fact that there were two Geelong West footy clubs going way back, one from 1926 and one from, I believe, even further, I think you need to talk to Tom about that because he's got a better understanding of that, having actually played for the club.
I can actually fill you in on something there, Paul. Having just written the history of the VCFL, there was a big, basically Geelong West won 30 flags in 60 years after the Second World War. That was in the old Geelong District Leagues.
Yeah.
After the Second World War, they won a new challenger, so they went into the Ballarat League.
Right, yes.
Won four flags there in the late 50s. The VFA went through their expansion phase in the early 60s. They wanted to bring in two divisions, so they invited Geelong West in, so they went to the VFA in 1963. So that was Geelong West, as far as I knew. They went off to the VFA. And now I didn't realise that there was another strand, the Cheetahs, which was existing all the way through. So it gets very complicated.
It is.
We can get bogged down in that for the next 75 minutes, but we won't.
Well, why don't we welcome Tom into the discussion? We'll speak to both gentlemen. Good evening to Tom Morrissey, who is a former Geelong West player through the VFA and now co-chair of this new powerful entity, the Geelong West Giants. Good evening to you, Tom.
Good evening, Mark and Paul. How are you?
Good, Tom.
Yeah, I think we could spend all night working out tributaries and finding out exactly how this river flows. But
exactly.
But the good news is that the river now flows powerfully as a single entity, the Giants, with two constituents, one in the GDFL, that is the Cheetahs, Geelong West Cheetahs, and the Geelong West Roosters in the GFL. Is this really what should have been, I'm not saying should have happened a while ago, but is this the ultimate result, the best result, given the possible restructuring in the area and the fact that Geelong West just ain't that bloody big for two teams?
Yeah, I think that is the main issue, isn't it? Is that Geelong West is a small community area and just doesn't really have the facility to cope with two football sides. And it worked when Geelong West, which was referred to as Red West at the time, was in the BFA and in the Ballarat Football League. But and then you had the Geelong West, which was called Blue West in the Geelong leagues. It was fine because they were in, you know, they were operating in two separate markets. Once we dropped out of the BFA and became both operating in the same market, it just didn't make sense. And eventually it had to come to this. And I think that it's a good result for everyone.
So can the two, now that you've got the two strands, can players swap between each, or that requires a full clearance?
It still operates, and it's one of the conversations that we've had with AFL Barn, the governing league, because, of course, when there was a talk of the two sides combining, the natural feeling was that we were just going to be a merged entity in one side. Mm. And we made that quite clear that that wasn't going to be the case and that we would field two sides. So, no, the lists operate separately, we still had to operate on permits if we wanted people to play between clubs, and then prior to 30th of June, a full clearance would have to happen.
Now, Tom, I imagine with the players and the current coaches and those invested in running these two clubs, the move is a step forward, and there would have been a hug, a meeting of minds, and a few beers drunk as the clubs became one. But I'm sure that there are some people with longer memories who remember days when there were disputes over ground sharing, and I guess some in any marriage, there's going to be some family members bitching about the other side of the family. Has that been the case, or is, I mean...
Inevitably, that is the case.
What's his name? Who's the...
I don't think we've got enough time to go through all that. Because not only that, is it Geelong West and St Peter's merged.
Yes, that's a merged club too.
So that's a merged club too. So you've got two separate lots of people there, and then, of course, your Blue West coming into it this year. So it is a combination of three clubs, but... Yeah, and there were certainly some concerns about that in the early stages. But I think one of the things that has helped that is the emerging of the Giants and the concept of the change of colours. The orange looks fantastic out in the ground, and people have sort of been drawn to that.
Take a step back, Tom, did the Roosters, you know, the Roosters and the Cheetahs, did the Roosters wear the old VFA jumper, the white and the red?
No, so on the combination of St Peter's and the Geelong West VFA side, no, they took a new strip, and it was a red and white strip. It's a North Adelaide. I've got a red and white striped strip.
Yep, okay, yes. Vertical stripes, yeah.
Yep, vertical stripes.
So, and the Cheetahs wore blue and gold, was it?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, yeah. How did those two... You just thought, we'll throw all that out, we'll become the Giants with orange and grey.
Yeah.
Tell us about the process there.
Yeah, so, well, the council made a decision 10 years ago, possibly, to share ground. So the ground, so Old West Oval, which was the VFA ground, then became a co-tenant. So the both Geelong West sides were playing there. And we're looking at a new development of that site and hoping to spend about $2.1 million on developing that site. And the council said, well, we're not doing that until you people start sorting what's going on at the club level. So a decision was made then to start talking about that, and we believe that the best way to go about that was become one club.
Okay, and why the Giants then? Why the Giants?
Why the Giants? Well, it comes through a connection that we had from the Red West side, with David Matthews. So David Matthews, who is obviously CEO of GWS, used to run the GFL. So when our side was actually playing in the GFL and playing finals, Dave Matthews was involved. And so just a conversation over a beer said, why don't you become the Giants? And it just grew from there. We took a trip last year to Sydney and... watched Collingwood and GWS play, and we sat down and come up with an agreement that suited both people, and the Giants were born.
If I can call Paul Eastman back into the discussion, the president of Geelong West Giants. Paul, how long have you held that post of president of Were you president of Geelong West in the GFL?
So I was president of Geelong West and Peters in 2015-16 and this year in the as the president of the GFL section of the Giants,
Right.
And, so, and involved on the committee, and I've got children that play, grown-up children that play at the club too, so my wife's involved as well. So, yeah, it's been involved for a while.
So, quite simply, as the president of the more powerful entity of the two in terms of the competition that you play in and by dint the players that you have and everything that goes with it, were there any concerns that, I mean, there's two ways to look at this. There's one way of saying that we're building a big club, a strong club, and we'll find a way to maybe traffic players between the two teams from season to season. So it could be a real positive, and then there might be some who think, well, this will just dilute our club. We're a GFL club, and now we're taking on a district club. How can that help? Yeah. What was your stance, and what's been the evidence so far in what is less than a season, but it's still a good sample?
Well, I think, to be honest, that was one of the things that we had to overcome, was that thinking around the club that, you know, we're the GFL club, we're the stronger club. We deserve this, we deserve that. We really had to overcome that thinking and just look at, basically pair it back to what's best for the Geelong West community in terms of football and netball, and we need to include netball just as much in this because our club's not just about senior football, it's about netball, it's about juniors, it's about our three girls teams, our girls footy teams that we've got at the moment. So we really had to start thinking.
Can I just ask, are those the netball club, the women's football, the juniors, are they a single entity? You know, there's not two versions of that, are there? They're just the Giants.
They're just the Giants. They're all just we're all just the Giants. We're the Geelong West Giants now.
Yep.
So to become the Geelong West Giants, though, we had to overcome that thinking that you know, Red West somehow had some, you know, rights over Blue West. We had to pare all of that back and overcome that thinking, and it's still, you know, obviously in some quarters there was still that thinking that, you know, Red West are the GFL team, so they deserve this and they deserve that, but that just wasn't the case. And so when I sat down with Paul Westcott, who was the chairman of the Cheetahs, that was our focus, was to really look at how we're going to change the way that people view both clubs and to view it as in terms of community rather than just in terms of football and netball.
Did you ever sit back and think how unusual it was that you were bringing these two clubs together and the two men in charge were Paul Eastman and Paul Westcott? are they your real names?
Yeah, they are. And I hadn't really thought of that before, but yeah, there you go.
It's quite odd. And there's no truth in the rumour that there was a motion put forward from your side of the fence that the two clubs be known as the Geelong West Roosters and the Geelong West Feather Dusters?
There's absolutely no truth to that rumour at
there
all.
There shouldn't be, because I made it up about 10 minutes ago.
Exactly.
Are footy troops now to Blackpool?
Paul, what's that?
Will footy troops now be to Blackpool? Or will everyone go on a trip Blackpool. To a Giants game? Where do the Giants play?
Bankstown.
Bankstown.
Yeah. Well,
where's Blackpool? Blackpool's near on the English coast. Sorry, go on.
Bankstown. That's a long trip.
We did have our boys went up there at the start of the year. They went for a camp to the Giants, and so they had a look around the facility up there. So that relationship's going really well. And just speaking about that relationship with GWS, the fact that there are now about 600 players running around in the charcoal and orange in the Geelong region is a fantastic thing for GWS too. There's a real synergy between the two clubs. The fact that, you know, they're Greater Western Sydney and we're Geelong West. The fact that we're very much focused on our communities, and the fact that Geelong West is traditionally very much a multicultural community too, is you know, something that GWS obviously pride themselves on being, you know, in smack bang in the middle of 2 million people, and a lot of them being from lots of different places.
So here's one for both of you to finish off with. The two teams in the GFL and the GDFL are outside the finals, final five and top fives, and not without their chances, but they're currently not in the reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about a sleeping giant here, or a cumbersome oaf?
Very much so. Just watch this space.
Yeah, I mean,
they're definitely going places.
Yeah, the basic question is, as I said, it's a long journey to be taken, and this new club seems to tick all the boxes for what modern football clubs need to be. And certainly the genesis, the basic outsider's view is, how can you divide Geelong West into the suburb of Geelong West into two teams? It's crazy. So it seems to be the right move. And I get from both of you that it's you're very comfortable that in the not-too-distant future, these clubs are going to really rattle up the local competition and change maybe some long-held beliefs about what the Giants or the old Roosters and Cheetahs were.
Look, very much so. Yes, we certainly do. We wouldn't have made this move if we didn't have future success firmly in our sights.
And so I forgot to ask: is your ground still ringed by the velodrome?
It certainly.
You played on it.
It certainly is. It's it is a bit of a bone of contention that the velodrome still exists.
There is
some moves afoot to take that away with the redevelopment once there's a new velodrome in Geelong to replace it.
So, are there bike races still there?
In my time at Western, I played there in the VFA. I never ever saw a bike on that track.
Okay,
but I'm told there is.
But it was the greatest ball return service of all time. If the ball was kicked between the goal and the fence, it bounced back into the field of play or the unsuspecting fullback's back of his head. It was very entertaining.
Absolutely. I never, ever had a problem with the velodrome. I always thought it was a good thing.
Yeah, I think the opposition players might have. Well, the ground that, as I said, you know, whenever I talk about Geelong West, I always tell the story that there was that famous week when Geelong West played Port and they drew more fans than Geelong did in the VFL. Now, it's a fact. It happened in the 70s. And whilst we're not suggesting that you'll outstrip the Cats at Simmons, I firmly believe, and from what we've heard tonight, that that great ground and that great name is in for good times. Thank you for joining us tonight, gentlemen.
No worries.
Thank you very much, boys.
It's Paul and Tom.
Go the Roosters, Cheetahs, Giants, whatever they are.
I forget. Two poor clubs merging doesn't necessarily make a strong club, finally. You see that in footy time again. But I suspect this is a good merger.
I had a mate, Brendan Davis, who for some unknown reason, despite living in Toorak, was the Geelong West sort of cheerleader and mascot. And he just went every second week to Geelong to watch them play. Oh. And he didn't have a car. He just used to catch a train and watch them play.
Fair enough, yeah. That was his thing, fair enough.
Yeah, very odd. Very odd indeed. But shows what sort of club it is. It demands loyalty and it got it. We're going to take a break and when we come back, wrap it up on what has been the most interesting. Was there another guest?
Yes, there is. Carl Bianco will talk about the Southern League.
Well, then we've got plenty of time because Carl can do it over into the next hour because Howard and Peaky are invariably late anyhow, but the Southern Football League sharply in focus when we return. Welcome back. Well, let's get our man Carl Bianco onto the job here on Bush and the Burbs, and we thank the Standard Hotel. You'll find it, 293 Fitzroy Street in Fitzroy. The rest is up to you, and the rest includes a great watering hole. Just up the top of the table there, Carl, Mordialloc, St Paul's, Dingley Circle. But I'm looking outside the five, and Oakley District, who were strong last year, not out by much percentage. But the team that interests me is St Kilda City, a former powerhouse, who've actually had a couple of really good wins this year. And what does the rest of the season hold for them? They did get beaten comfortably by Bentley, but they've shown that they can beat good teams.
Yeah, a big thing with St Kilda City in particular, they've had a lot of youth involved with their club in the past years, and their under-19s club, a team has been quite strong. So you'd seen the under-19 players push up to the senior squad. They had a change of coach during the off-season as well. Richard Houston came back to the club, having been a premiership coach there as well. So I think the spirits have certainly been boosted at St Kilda City. And look, who knows what we've got in store for the remainder of the season, but St Kilda City, yeah, certainly showing some promising signs.
We're going to have to leave it there, but we'll touch base next week. Thank you, Def.
On your phone, thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gamaverdian from Dental Lounge. Would you like to increase your success, whether it be personal success or career success? Studies have proven that enhancing your smile can enhance your quality of life in every way. I've seen hundreds of patients for porcelain veneers and smile makeovers with amazing results. Simply tap the banner and book your free consultation and I'll be happy to show you. And best of all, ask about our interest-free payment plans. Dental Lounge, Macquarie Street. Create success with your smile.